The National Broadcasting Company presents the noted news analyst, Mr. H.V. Kaltenborn. Mr. Kaltenborn.
Good evening, everybody. The most exciting news of recent hours is the report that has just come to us from Fred Bate in London, a report originating in Amsterdam that the German liner Bremen has been sunk with several thousand troops on board. We know that the Germans have been using liners and merchant ships of various kinds to transport troops to Norway and to Denmark. It is quite possible that British submarines, realizing that this transport was underway, were awaiting their opportunity and succeeded in sinking the Bremen. But we had best wait for confirmation of reports of that kind when news comes so quickly, so frequently, from so many capitals, and occasionally is contradicted later on. Summing up the news events of today, we have a new government in Norway under Major Quisling, head of the Nazi Party in Norway. That's the first we've heard of a Nazi Party there. It did not get a seat in Parliament at the last election. A heavy naval battle has been in progress now for hours in a heavy sea off the Norwegian coast. It's probably a running fight. Germans announced that their aircraft have damaged at least four of the larger British units. London is cautious as usual in its announcements with reference to naval action and says wait until later for a report. The Germans claim to hold all important Norwegian ports, but this report requires clarification. How do they hold them and for how long? Sweden announces neutrality, but that is only a word. Will Sweden be benevolently neutral towards Norway on the west or towards Germany on the east? The outcome of today's naval battle may help Sweden to decide. President Roosevelt believes this crisis will make all of us think more about the war. He did not say so, but perhaps he added in his own mind more about the war and less about the third term. There are hints of German action in the Balkans. Thus far, there has always been a next move for Adolf Hitler. With Scandinavia conquered, the Balkans think they know who might be next. And now, let's call in NBC's correspondents overseas. Hello, London. Hello, Fred Bate.
Hello, Hans Kaltenborn. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Fred Bate, I've got several questions that we've been mulling over here. We want to know this above all. Were the British taken completely by surprise by what happened today?
Before I answer that, I heard your announcement about the Bremen, and I may be out on a limb on that as it stands, so I didn't say several thousands on board. 1,300 is the report. About the British being taken by surprise, yes and no, and this is not meant to straddle your question. It is reported that Mr. Howard Smith, the British minister in Copenhagen, and the staff of the British legation there were seized by the Germans. As a matter of fact, there's a strong feeling here that their seizure is another breach of international practice, although it is admitted that as diplomats they may be released. That certainly indicates that the suddenness of the German move, at any rate, took the British in Copenhagen by surprise. The feeling of confidence which one senses here over the eventual outcome of the German venture may in itself be a factor suggesting that the attack on Norway, at any rate, did come as a surprise. A surprise that the Germans would have risked it. A naval correspondent of the Evening Standard tonight says that the naval plan now executed by the Germans is well matured and has been considered as long ago as 1926. Its general purpose, he says, is to secure air and submarine bases on the southern coast of Norway for attacks against Scapa Flow, shipping in the North Sea, the blockade line in the North Sea, and British ports. If this plan has been known to British naval authorities for some time, it is reasonable to think that Britain and France must have expected what has now happened as a countermove to their mining of Norwegian waters. It does not seem exaggerated to assume that the Allies would not have made their first move without feeling prepared to deal with just such a German countermove. That's the reason for my double answer. There does seem to have been surprise over the timing and swiftness of the action, but not the action itself.
We are somewhat concerned here over the fact that there has been no word of any kind from Moscow following a four-hour conference between the German ambassador to Soviet Russia and Molotov, the Russian premier. Has London had any word from Moscow as to its reactions? You know that Moscow was said to be scanning the Scandinavian peninsula with the idea of possibly marching from Finland across northern Norway and also across northern Sweden with the idea of possibly cooperating with German in an assault on the Scandinavian peninsula.
Soviet reports have been scarce here. Soviet diplomatic circles in London recorded today as saying that the idea of any renewed Russian activity against Finland was preposterous. I have seen no other reference by Russia to Scandinavia. People monitoring Moscow radio today say that the Scandinavian situation has not been mentioned. A report from Stockholm, however, says that Russia today made three demands of Finland. One, the immediate conclusion of the economic pact mentioned in the peace treaty. Two, the immediate construction of the railway to the Swedish frontier. And three, the setting up of mixed Finno-Russian companies so that Russia will get 45% of the output of the Finnish nickel mines.
Have you any confirmation of the sinking of a German battleship in Oslo Fjord?
No. No confirmation.
Is there any more news than Mr. Chamberlain gave us concerning the British fleet? You remember that all he said to the House of Commons was that the fleet was at sea.
No, there is no confirmation about any of the actions that are supposed to be taking place, nor are confirmations expected here before early tomorrow morning. One reason given is that if there are actions going on, and they are supposed to be going on, the ships are not able at the moment to use their radio.
That would explain the silence from the British fleet, then.
That's the explanation given here.
We are somewhat concerned about Iceland, which has a common king with Denmark, Iceland being much closer to our continent than Denmark itself. Have you heard anything from Iceland today?
No, nothing whatsoever is reported here about Iceland.
Our French naval units with the British fleet in Norwegian waters, we heard referred to as the Allied fleet, but we've heard nothing about specific French action.
I'm assured that the references to the Allied fleet means that French units are cooperating with the British naval forces.
How can this French aid that was announced by Premier Reynaud this morning be made effective in Scandinavia?
That's a tough one. That's a question which a naval or military expert could best speculate over. And he probably had many suggestions. The only specific reference to French aid for Scandinavia that I know of at the moment is whether is it she's likely to use her portion of the expeditionary force assembled for Finland. How this would be used is obviously information unlikely to be discussed in advance. You know, of course, that Monsieur Reynaud and Monsieur Daladier attended in London today a meeting of the Supreme War Council. And I don't think that the answer to your question will be found outside of the findings of that meeting.
What do you hear from Sweden? We've only had one report from Sweden, and that was to the effect that she intended to remain neutral.
Well, there's one report just in from Stockholm to the effect that the German steamer Macis, M-A-C-I-S, of 7,000 tons, was sunk tonight by a British submarine. Apart from that, the only news from Sweden is that statement about her neutrality and the statement that she reserves the right to take all necessary measures to maintain this neutrality.
We have just about 35 seconds more. I have just one more question. The Germans report two British planes destroyed off the Norwegian coast. Is there any confirmation in London or any news about air activity?
I'm sure there's nothing that you haven't had, but air activity comes under the same heading as naval information. There is no confirmation of any of the reports that have circulated throughout the day from various sources.
Thanks very much, Fred Bate, for your interesting answers.
Not a bit.
Margaret Rupley, the National Broadcasting Company's correspondent in the Netherlands, reports now from Amsterdam.
This is Margaret Rupley speaking from Holland. As soon as the news of the invasion of Norway and Denmark became known here, Dutch army leave was stopped, and men who were already on leave were recalled. There was a special meeting of the cabinet called in The Hague this morning. The Scandinavian invasions have sent a thrill of horror through people here, and a feeling of intense thankfulness that they are better prepared than Denmark or Norway. We got the news first at about 8 o'clock from the Dutch radio, and also from the English radio. Much of the detail came to us in Holland via New York and Washington, at a time when most of you were still asleep. A short time thereafter, there were extra papers out, and one could see the anxious faces of the people who were reading them in the streets. Lots of people here stayed glued to their radio for most of this morning. I was among them. We were trying to get the German radio to see what it was putting out. The first news came from the Frankfurt sender about 10:30, confirming the invasion, And shortly thereafter, most of the German stations were playing military music and interrupting at intervals to announce that Germany was extending her armed protection to German, to Denmark and Norway as a reaction against the British disregard of international law in laying mines in Norwegian territorial waters. This was followed by the playing of Wir marschieren gegen England. Then we heard over the Dutch radio that Bergen and Stavanger were in German hands, and then in rapid succession came news of the bombing of Oslo, not confirmed as yet, and the news that Germans disguised as merchant seamen had taken Narvik. You will want to know what it is like here in Amsterdam, just as I would like to know all that you are hearing in New York. Attitudes, of course, depend on the people to whom one is talking. Journalists are tearing around trying to find out more news. The population as a whole goes on quite as usual, except that there is an undercurrent of tension. The thing is in everybody's faces, is not on their lips. A friend of mine said to me, "Yes, I know we are still neutral, but it is very hard to keep oneself neutral in thought. My laundress, who comes to me regularly each Tuesday, said only, 'It frightens me so. This is such a small country.'" Still other people were saying that England had provoked the attack. And still others were saying, no, it came so quickly that it must have been prepared ahead of time. Other people were wondering whether the Allies were really going to do something about it all. I don't know whether there were more soldiers drilling in the streets of Amsterdam than usual, or whether one was only more conscious of them. But there seemed to me to be soldiers marching in step to drumbeat every half hour or so. There was more drone of planes overhead than usual also. Another thing which always happens here in Amsterdam, whenever there is a crisis of this kind, is the telephone communications become instantly jammed. This is particularly true this time, for now that Copenhagen and Oslo radio and telephone and telegraph communications are in German hands, there is a double strain on Amsterdam. It took about an hour for the Basel office of the National Broadcasting Company to reach me here in Amsterdam this evening, whereas usually I get a call in about 2 minutes. In fact, I scarcely knew whether I was going to get out here to the studio in time to broadcast or not. All the lines are jammed. People are calling Amsterdam from Stockholm, trying to get messages through to London. They are also calling from London in the opposite direction. I think I will give you an idea of what the evening Dutch papers say. They all have headlines telling about the Scandinavian invasion. The Telegraph says that the law of Europe today is the law of the jungle, and that every state has only those rights which it can defend by force of arms. The Telegraph says also, at any price, the Scandinavian countries wanted to remain out of the war, and for precisely that reason they have been drawn into it. We wish the Norwegians a good heart, tenacity in the hard task which has been placed before them by events. However thoroughly the world is convinced that we want to stay out of war, it should equally well realize that we resist any infringement of our territory on land or sea with all the forces at our disposal. The Handelsblatt writes, "England and France have a great responsibility for the fate and future of Scandinavia. It is certain that they were the first to infringe the Norwegian integrity." This same paper speaks of the fact that in Berlin there has been a reference to that theoretical possibility that if the Allies made a move to extend the war to the Low Countries, Germany would have to take similar action. I believe that this is all I can tell you of what is going on here. I return you now to the National Broadcasting Company.
During the past quarter hour, you have heard from Mr. H.V. Kaltenborn in New York, Margaret Rupley in London, rather in Amsterdam, and NBC's observer in London, Fred Bate, on news and reviews of the events of the day. The scene was described for us by Two-Way International Broadcast. This is the National Broadcasting Company.